Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're talking about the role of technology in business, especially in this post-pandemic world that we find ourselves in. And we are joined by South Africa's biggest mobile operator, that is Vodacom. They recently actually did some research doing something called the Future Ready, the Future Readiness Report, just around how can businesses, go out there in this post-pandemic world. How do you make yourselves future ready? And we're going to be getting some definitions just around what it takes to be a future ready business. What are some of the insights that are being drawn in South Africa and across the continent? Because Vodacom does have operations all over the continent. So we're going to be gleaning those insights. So to help us to navigate the topic, we are joined by William Zimba, who is the Chief Officer for Vodacom Business. William, greetings to you this morning.
Greetings, Mudiva.
Thank you so much for being with us and taking your time, just to join us on this platform. I think just as a baseline, we all understand Vodacom from a consumer point of view, the largest operator in the country, 44 million customers on that side. But as Vodacom Business, specifically, maybe you could talk to us just around the work that you guys are doing there.
Yeah, no, thank you for the time and to all the listeners who are joining us on this important conversation. I think important to say that Vodacom Business represents the component of Vodacom that is servicing the enterprise market, spanning small, medium enterprises to large enterprises to public enterprises. And through our Vodafone Career Services business, we are connecting other mobile networks and over-the-top players onto our network across the continent. And also through our Vodafone Global Enterprises, we're working with the largest multinationals, moving them into the continent on our platforms and moving some of the African enterprises outside of the continent, so both inbound and outbound. So we operate in terms of footprint in the continent of Africa with more than 47 point of presence in terms of our Pan-African network. And of course, you would know that we have got operations as the group in a number of countries, including the DRC, Ghana, Lesotho, Mozambique, as well as in Kenya through Safaricom. And we are represented very well. And at this moment, in terms of market cap, as you all know, we are the largest telco company, which we are now focusing on converting into a tech communications company. So we're taking all the components and the attributes of telecommunications companies that provide telecommunications in the main through what everybody else understands, and we are overlaying the attributes of technology companies on top of our platforms so that we can be much more responsive to the demands and the needs of our customers.
Now, in terms of responding to all those customer needs and wants, recently Vodacom released its financial results for the year end for the financial 2021 year last week. And Vodacom Business was actually sort of highlighted as an area of growth in the business. And, given the, I don't know what words to use, but the collapse of businesses over the last year, right? It is quite good to see that an enterprise unit is, driving growth. So maybe you could highlight some of the things that, where you guys actually saw that growth.
Thank you for the question, Mudiwa. I think what we saw is that enterprises adopted and embraced digital technologies, some of them before the pandemic hit. But during the height of the pandemic, we saw our mobile broadband business grow substantially, supported also by our fixed broadband business, especially in the context of enabling work from home solutions and work from anywhere solutions. As I said, the traffic surged 84% from the previous year to the year that has been FY21. And the opportunity that we saw from a Vodacom business perspective is enabling our customers to build sustainability in their operations. So right at the beginning, we focused a lot on just bringing about resilience and business continuity. And then towards the middle of the lockdown, and when our customers recognized that the COVID pandemic was going to be with us for a very long time or foreseeable future, we then focused on how can we help them recalibrate their strategies and their business models and operating model to support longevity in how to leverage digital technologies to connect with their customers. So we saw that also bringing about the heightened need for communicate services on top of the connectivity services that we had. We also saw an upsurge in the growth of productivity applications and the need for data that has been generated to be monetized through artificial intelligence component as well as big data analytics, supported by the need for more cloud computing that is more than just storage and backup and also disaster recovery. So that, of course, on the basis of how we had set up our business, right at the, you know, in 2019, 2020, we had established a new go-to-market model, which effectively looked at how we can split our business to focus on the different industries and to curate our products and services in line with those industries. And we found that that enabled us to understand very intimately what our clients were grappling with in terms of the need for them to digitize their businesses. And when the pandemic hit, our operating model was already aligned to where the demand was going to be. So I would say that we're fortunate enough that we worked ahead of the curve. And as you read our Future Ready report, you'll see that in the preamble, we are quoting the founder of Salesforce who says, you're better off getting to the future first before your customers so that when they arrive, you better be ready to welcome them. And I believe that as Vodacom, we lived to that quote from Mark Benioff.
I actually noted that quote because it is in the opening of the report. I remember, you know, noting that quote, and I was like, "That's actually quite interesting." It's similar sometimes to some of the words that you used to hear from Steve Jobs when he was alive. That you need to give the customers what they don't. You have to anticipate what the customer is gonna want before the customer actually realizes that they want it. So from that point of view, you guys have put out that report, and it's quite extensive in terms of just gleaning insights about what it takes to be an organization that can survive these very, I don't know what other word to use, but interesting times. I guess for us, the big thing is maybe understanding from your point of view, when we say a future ready business, you know, what do we actually mean? And are we preparing businesses for a time in the future? Or do you see what we're going through right now as being that future?
So let's put it in context. So our future ready business analyzed about just close on 2,000 enterprises, just to be able to ascertain what is important for them for growth in the future, to sustain growth in the future, and to be able to survive and be able to operate on the basis of the new normal, which we have coined from a Vodacom business point of view, the next normal. And so we identified a couple of attributes that were very important. One is, future-ready businesses need to be purpose-driven. So not only profit-driven or people-driven, need to be able to work at the intersection of purpose, people, and profit. So therefore, in the context of that, you would be able to signal to your customers and all your stakeholders what is important as and when you make the right strategic choices on a day-to-day basis. And on a tactical basis as well. Let me give you an example of a future-ready telco, which is Vodacom and Vodacom Business. Our purpose is connecting for a better future. We coined and agreed on that purpose statement way before the pandemic. And we specifically outlined three critical aspects that will bring about that purpose, which is about inclusion. It's about digital. That speaks to the connected world aspect of our purpose, which means we want to make sure that we're connecting more people, things, and processes together. Over a billion of those on our platform to be connected. And then the third was environment, which means we have to be able to do business in a sustainable way so we leave the world a better place than what we found it to be. So along those three dimensions, we started developing very intricate programs, one supported by what we call the spirit of Vodafone and Vodacom, which talks about how we can co-create the future with our customers, how we can work together in the whole ecosystem to usher that connection or those connections for the future. And when we talk about connections, Mudiwa, we're not really just talking about technological connections. We're talking about how we connect the customers to suppliers, how we connect underprivileged into the mainstream of the economy, how we bring about inclusion, education, health, and financial. And we're talking about how we create platforms where people can exchange value. And you will see that we take that part of connecting for a better future and we extend it on top of the platforms that we have created. So we have a massive connect people, things, and the process platform supported firstly by our broad and large network. When you combine our Vodafone footprint and combine the entire Vodacom footprint in the African continent, there is no traffic. We aren't able to switch from anywhere, which means we're connecting Africans to the Europeans, Americans to Asians, and so on and so forth. We have the largest and extensive network from that point of view. And then the second part is we now created a large platform that speaks to the financial inclusion aspect. So you would have heard our group CEO Shamil talk about 57.7 million people interacting on our financial services platform on the basis where they are beginning to exchange value. Those that were unbanked today can send money or receive money. Those that want to transact and put their businesses online on our digital gateways, they can now be able to accept payment to enable their businesses to move into e-commerce. So those are the things we talk about when we talk about connecting for a better future. And on the enterprise side, we are doing the same thing on our SME platform. We are becoming the SME platform of choice, where we're helping businesses to start. We're helping those that have started to accelerate. We're helping women in agriculture to adopt technology in how they plant, how they sell their commodities, so they can bypass the middleman who normally takes all the profits, and they can connect directly with the people that require their services. So in the main, the connecting for a better future part talks more than just connections on the digital aspect alone. And that is what has survived, has sustained our growth during the pandemic in a way that we've been able to leverage all those platforms. Our IoT platform, for example, now has got 5.6 million things, devices connected. And we are intending to grow it substantially, where we are connecting meters to enable revenue assurance for our customers, where we are connecting cars during the pandemic, for example, on our internet in the car platform, which is a partnership with Toyota. People were telling us stories that their cars became their workplaces because their cars were connected to the internet. So they sat in their cars doing Teams and other collaborative things to get the economy going. And we are expanding on those connections, talking to our enterprise platform.
I actually remember a couple of years ago when you guys had the launch with yourselves, Toyota and Altron, when you guys had those connected vehicles. And it was literally maybe 4 to 6 months before the pandemic hit. And I don't think anyone could have really imagined, you know, where that, you know, project would have gone in terms of that. But one of the things is that now you're talking the customer piece where, you know, the customers are, I guess, benefiting from, you know, all of these different technologies all coming together cohesively. And that seems to be quite a long running theme, you know, through your report, the rise of the customer, you know. So maybe you could talk to us about that.
Yeah, the customer has now learned a new way of accessing or being served or interacting with suppliers, for example. So we have found that just in the year that's been, more than accretive on top of what was a number, the amount of money that was on the online space, there was close on $2 billion additional online transactions that took place in terms of value generated by the South African customer and consumer. You imagine generating $2 billion worth of incremental online transactions, and with the ability to capture all those interactions and then be able to analyze them and monetize them in a way that you can personalize for the next purchase, understand what William prefers, what Mudiwa prefers. So we have coined a phrase that talks about what many people have said: we need to optimize our business models. So we find that if you are able to create the correct digital platforms and use big data, artificial intelligence algorithms, then you can monetize your business better in terms of being able to serve your customers with lower costs of acquisition, for example, if you are in the front line of acquiring customers, because now you've got more data, you understand where your customers live and what your customers' expectations of service are. So that piece is significantly important. And what we have seen during this pandemic is that more and more businesses have opted to move their models to online, and some still physical. So the physical connection is now starting to be much more prominent, where you are at the physical level and also at the digital level. So you're talking about the digital components there. So the most important thing is that now when you are optimized well, you can begin to personalize your offers. And when you personalize your offers, you're attracting more and more customers. And I'm not talking only just about large businesses. We've seen small, medium enterprises now putting their business online and adopting more digital marketing strategies, optimizing their websites in terms of search so their products can come up front. And as part of what we offer in terms of Vodacom Business Smart offerings, we are taking our digital marketing platforms. For example, a simple one is SMS, USSD, how then people can start to interact. We are opening up our rich content services platforms now, where you can send people rich content which they can interact with and be able to advertise on the smart phones or smart devices, and get more out of what your customers are intending to do. So easier way of acquiring customers. So that part has become more and more important. So being able to listen to the needs of your customers and being able to fulfill them, having built the right digital platforms as and when they interact with you, it's another dimension of making your business future ready. But there's another important aspect, not only the customer, it's about how you enable your workforce to become a workforce that is working with you in terms of workforce of the future attributes. And that by it's allowing them to have flexible work practices. That means being able to allow them to work from anywhere. And that means as a corporation, supporting their needs to be connected. And that we have seen significant growth in that space where companies are saying, we're no longer going to return to work in the manner in which we have done before. What we are going to do, instead of our people spending time on the road traveling, we're now going to enable them to work from wherever so that we can save on the cost of, travel insurance. We can save on cost of giving people allowances to go to work. Just to give you an example, Mudiwa, we had to retrain over 300 of our salespeople to be able to sell using digital platforms. How do you troll LinkedIn, for example, to effectively be able to connect with customers? And how do you convert leads from those kind of social media platforms into leads that can generate real value? So we see more and more emphasis on the workforce component of it, being it can't return to the old way in which things used to be. And that's a critical part of what we talk about as a future-ready business. It's a business that adopts principles of how to connect its workforce on digital platforms that can allow them to work from anywhere. The one last part is that we have seen substantial investment in technology. So future-ready businesses now know that it's no longer about just 1% or less than 1% of your profits needing to be plowed back into technology. It's more than up to 5% now, in some instances, 5 to 8%. Why? Because the more you invest in digital technologies, the more costs you take out of your processes. So therefore, making your business more cost effective to be able to deliver the profits that I've talked about at the intersection of purpose, people, and profits.
William, I like the fact that you are bringing in this investment thing, because as we round up the discussion, it was one of the things that I was wondering about when reading the report, to say, especially on the small business side, you know, the practicalities of what it means to be future ready, right? Because before the pandemic, some people looked at exactly what you've just said, the 1% of profit, I'll put that in technology, you know, the bare minimum, whatever I can just scrape by, especially if you're a small business. You know, do you still see, because right now the use cases are obvious to say that technology investment is necessary, it's needed, right? This thing is here. But do you still see some resistance from businesses, you know, when it comes to their technology investment, to say, I know I need this thing, but I feel like it's still too much money, or it's still too much of a capital requirement on my part to actually get myself to that stage?
So what I see is, I don't necessarily see resistance, but I see enterprises and businesses that haven't yet quantified substantially, with an understanding supported by everyone in the enterprises, about the transition from how they looked at CapEx into technology to how they should look at it in the future. So I think there is still a transition where a lot of money was focused on going into other things and always thinking about technology as the last place where you put whatever remained. And now the concept of, we have to be in the digital world for our business to survive, reigns supreme in everything else. And I'm hoping that when people recalibrate their budgets and their strategies, we will see more and more money being plowed in the area of technology. Because in the past, I mean, from 2015, whilst I was still at Accenture, we were talking about digital disruption. And many people thought we were just, you know, being consultants, just hyping things up. And then 2020 arrived, all the things we've been talking about since 2015 really became true, not because we were saying something, because people began to witness the fact that we could deliver what we have delivered as Vodacom, with probably about 70-80% of our people working from home. Before that, if you had gone to the shareholders and many other people and said to them, take 80% of your people, put them at home, they will still deliver or even deliver better, that concept would have been laughed at, or you would have been thrown out, you know, in some instances, to say you can never get that level, those level of productivity. Today, we see in the financial services sector, probably 50% in some instances of their people are never going to return to workspaces as we've known them before. So that part is already demonstrated to be true. Now, the next part is, of course, to be truly working on the basis of the new ways of work from home or work from anywhere, you're going to have to invest in the underlying technology to do the enablement. So I'm not saying that there is resistance. I think that is a question of now the trend in terms of digitalization has moved ahead of where people's budgets have been, and they need to recalibrate so that they can catch up. But I think the concept, if you look at our report around the need for digital technology investment, has been significantly highlighted to be an aspect that future-ready businesses need to make sure that they spend adequately on their IT and digital spaces. Yeah.
Perhaps as we round up to sort of bring everything together, and especially that point that you're talking about recalibrating the budgets, what are people investing in? And what do they need to invest in? What are the specific types of technology that future-ready businesses do need to come to grips with, right, at the moment? And I guess, you know, coupled with that, you know, do you see us going back to a, you know, 80%, you know, people at the office type of environment? Or is this hybrid that we're seeing at the moment just the way that life is going to be?
So in the past, I talked about the exponential technologies that are going to propel businesses to move into digital. And one of those technologies, of course, is 5G and 4G LTE today, which is evolving into 5G. So let's talk about mobile broadband. And then maybe without just mentioning technologies. So I will say we still have probably about 47%, if not a little more, of people in this continent not connected. So we have to invest in bringing everyone to the connectedness world, because that's the start of digital. Now, the World Bank estimates that by 2035, we will have the youngest population employed, or that will stick to be employed as a continent of Africa because of our demographic dividend that we enjoy. Now, that world is going to be a world that is going to require basic connectivity. So, and we're still way behind on that front. So I am imploring enterprises and governments to focus on the connectedness part. And therefore, that's why you hear us speaking and shouting from the rooftops around the issue of spectrum, because the spectrum creates, you know, bigger highways for us to be able to propagate more data. Second thing is, we have seen also the growth of data. Cisco, on their VNI report that they published in 2020, are expecting that broadband speeds are going to more than double. Mobile speeds are also probably going to treble. That there's going to be more than 3.9 devices per person that are going to get connected. So we need broader highways to be able to carry that amount of traffic. So that is the first part that we need to get right. The second part that we need to get right is the education part, right? Is to be able to educate our people to not fear the technology. Now, I learned during the COVID pandemic, when the schools were closed, that the biggest impediment for our e-education in this country, it wasn't the kids, it wasn't just access. Access is important of both the data, connectivity and devices, but the biggest impediment were the teachers that were threatened by the technology in terms of adoption. That was making adoption of e-education the biggest hurdle in the country. So we need to get those things right as a country and as a continent. Now, going to the last part of your business, of your question, I would like to say that businesses now need to think about investing in platforms and then moving their businesses from linear businesses into platform businesses, which allows value to be generated on those platforms and for the value to be shared by a lot more people. Because in doing so, then you scale your business from being just a linear business to more exponential business. And that's what we are doing, for example, as Vodacom. With our financial services platforms, you know, we are launching by the second quarter our, you know, lifestyle platform through the VodaPay, which we have already announced. And so that is going to allow us the ability to get more people connected on that platform. We're going to exchange value, but we're going to share the value. We're going to share the value with the people that sell their products there. We're going to sell the value with the consumers that come onto our platform, because they will give them loyalty points for them to do more things. We set goals for them on how to get healthier, goals on how to spend better, goals on how to save, all of those things. So we're going to create a shared economy of some sort, which we are going to be able to share with everyone else. And those are some of just few things that I wanted to reflect on in terms of what businesses need to start to do and embrace to be future ready.
William, thank you so much for being with us. I think just as a parting shot, I know that you did touch on it very briefly just now. I know that you're very passionate about education when it comes to future readiness and all of that. But in a broader sense, missing pieces at the moment, how do you feel we are doing in terms of just? I didn't actually know what you just said now about the fact that one of the biggest impediments is the fact that teachers are feeling threatened by the technology. But I guess it makes sense. We hear the thing about AI and people worrying about their jobs. I didn't understand that it was also there in the education sphere. Like I said, as a parting shot, any missing pieces that you feel like we can plug at the moment, just to make sure that education and technology is more accessible, just done better?
Yeah. So the missing piece for me is that if I just spoke for South Africa alone, is that more than 260 billion, if not close to 300 billion now, we spend every year we allocate to education. So we allocate quite a lot of money into education. And yes, of course, a big part of that still goes to paying salaries. And I'm not for let's not pay good salaries to teachers. Actually, we should be paying them more. But if we can take that amount of money that we're spending and just half of it start to digitize, for example, the textbooks and put them online, we will save massive amount of money in terms of textbooks that gets distributed and that at the end of the year are torn, lost, and have to be replenished. Because once you digitize, it's there forever. You put it in the cloud, it cannot be stolen, it cannot be torn, it can always be used. The second point that I want to say is that we have a very willing corporate society that is very active. And we've seen it during the pandemic when the president asked people to say, let's put in a solidarity fund. You saw lots and lots of pledges. We are working right now as Vodacom on a project which seeks to say, how can we connect 15 billion kids in this country onto the internet, enabling them with devices to be able to give them hybrid education? Now, there are a lot of stakeholders that are going to tell you, don't do that, right? There are a lot of stakeholders that are going to stand on the way of having to digitalize education because of other vested interests. So I say, I dare everyone to say, we have the money, we need the will. We need the willpower to get this done. It's not a function of lack of money. And for as long as we are sitting in our respective places, just admiring the problem and talking about it, we're getting left behind. And that is the most unfortunate thing, because this digitalization and this 4IR thing is actually an equalizer. It's an opportunity for us. Lots of people talk about leapfrog. Of course, it's an opportunity for us to leapfrog many other developed economies to get there. And in some instances, when you look at the thriving ecosystem of startups in the fintech space, in the tech space, in Nairobi, in Kigali, in Johannesburg, in Lagos, you start to see that there is a lot of talent in our young people that can allow this economy, the African economy, to grow. And the last parting shot for me is that I'm encouraged by this single digital market that our AU leaders are talking about. Now imagine if we open up the whole continent into it becoming a single digital market where I can sell goods and services on this digital market with very reduced custom and excise duty, right? And the ability to move goods from one place to the other that are transacted on a digital platform. Now we're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars that can circulate in the African continent, improving and growing our collective GDP to more than the 15% that it is of the global GDP today. That's where the opportunity lies.
Now, if you are listening, you can definitely tell what I meant when I said that William is passionate about education. And that was us with William Zimba, who is the chief officer for Vodacom Business, giving us some insight into what he began talking to us about, what they're actually doing in the business and some of the areas of growth. And he was actually just showing us that in the last financial year, that their growth was in line with some of the changes that we've seen over the last year's businesses are moving their operations online, the increases in data traffic and different platforms and investments coming through and reflecting in the growth of their business, but also talking about their future readiness report, just around what it takes to actually be future ready. How do you survive these times? And also just talking about some of the practical implications of what it means to run your business in these times. If you're a small business, you need to be spending and allocating more of your budget towards digital technology, digital enablement. And he's also talking about the fact that there must be that investment in platforms just so that you can scale your business and grow exponentially. So that's been it for this edition. Thank you so much, William.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Quite a wide-ranging discussion with William, and I really like some of the practical things that he was talking about when it comes to being future-ready and the types of technologies that need to be focused on. But him talking about the fundamentals, right, especially for the African continent, to say that 47% of people are still not connected to the internet, because we can talk about investment in Microsoft Teams, Zoom, the latest tablets, computers, cell phones, smartphones, networks, edge computing, hybrid cloud, all of these things. But all of that can only work in an environment where people are connected and the consumer and businesses are also connected to the same system, which in this day and age is the internet. So doing those fundamental things, going back to basics and just making sure that people are connected to the internet is, like what William is saying, a starting point. And the fact that there are still so many people, more than close to half, of the African population not yet connected, means that there is still a lot of work to be done. But also at the same time, trying to educate so that you get rid of some of those fears that come with the new systems, new technologies. One of the examples I always like to give is the fact that once upon a time, there used to be people that used to physically change the red, green, and amber lights in terms of street junctions in cities to allow cars to go to stop and to slow down, right? But now we have traffic lights that have automated that entire process, right? And can you imagine if someone was actually still doing that physically as a job? So we can't be afraid of the technology, but rather embrace what it can do and what it frees up our people to be able to do. Going forward, that should be our focus, especially on the continent. Connect the people, educate people about the potential of the technology, and also just make sure that we aren't afraid of what the technology can do, but rather let's embrace it and make us grow and become a stronger people. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter. We're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight. which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.